So I'm now recording, and this one is about working with a personal assistant. And this is Ms. Parker, and here's your level disclaimer of liability. This material and information contained or given on this website or podcast, audiocast, is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. That would be me. You are using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely on this material or information on this website or podcast as a basis for making any business decisions. While I endeavor to keep the information as up to date and correct, RV Project Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind, expressed or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website or audio files, the information, products or services, or related graphics contained on the website. For any purpose, all due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. Da-da-da, got through another one. Okay, so this little chat is about living with a personal assistant. A lot of times people will hire a personal assistant, and then after they hire the personal assistant, they look at the personal assistant, and the personal assistant looks at you, and they go, okay, what do you want, boss? And you go, fuck, I don't know. That's not the way to start. Although, I did start that way. Oh, crumb. So, why? Why do you want to hire a personal assistant? Well, you're going to find yourself stretched so thin with all the different projects on your plate and with all the different people that you're going to be talking to that sometimes when you get help from an assistant, it's not actually help. It feels like you're adding another to-do thing to your plate. So if you want to get away from that, so your assistant is actually helping you instead of, you know, here's the assistant, do this, do this, do this. You don't want to be there. You want to have set up a way to work with your assistant so that it's a win-win for you and your assistant and your business and the people that they interact with. So here's my best tips to leverage your personal assistant so that you can get as much done in as less time as possible. Now, one of the other things I want to talk about is this. Many people will hire somebody and then they want them to work 8 hours a day, okay? You're going to pay them for an eight-hour day. They want them to work eight-hour days, okay? But you need to sit and think about this for a minute, okay? What are you actually hiring the assistant to do? Straight up, what you're hiring the assistant to do is to take away the pressure of your life, okay? It's to take away, get more things done, and so that you can have more time to enjoy your life, okay? So what I do with my personal assistant is this. I tell them right in the beginning, I'm going to pay you for 8 hours a day. And I don't care if it takes you 10 hours a day, or if it takes you 3 hours a day, or if it takes you 1 hour a day. Once you get your work done, you're done for the day. You check in with me and I say, you're done, you go. Because it doesn't matter what you pay them if you have to sit there and give them information on what to do because they don't have any work left. So let them go home. Think of it as, I'm paying you to leave me alone. I'm paying you so that I can afford to keep you and you can pay your bills, but I need you to leave me alone. So if you approach it like that, you won't have any kind of bad feelings about, hey, she's only worked 2 hours, go home. You're going to pay her for an 8 hour day. Hell yeah, you are. Because there's going to be other days when you need that bitch for 10 hours. Okay. Although if you do like more than 2-3 10-hour days a month, you need to start raising her money. But so keep that in mind. Your goal is to get rid of your tasks get your tasks completed, and have your assistant go home so that you don't have to be telling them what to do, okay? So here's the first tip. Have one master project list that tracks, that your assistant tracks every single thing you give him or her to do, okay? This cannot be understated, because if you have a project list that you're working on and she has a, he or whatever it is, has a project list that they're working on, things will fall through the cracks, okay? Trust nothing to the cracks. One project list. Share it through, you know, back then we had to write it on paper, and then my poor bitch, she was like, she'd have to rewrite it every night. You know, that was her last thing to do. Now you can do it on Google Docs. You can figure out a way that you have one project list. And maybe if it is something that, you know, she gets on task in the morning and the first thing she does is prints the project list, the current project list for the day. Okay. One project list, not one for her, one for you, and that you both, oh, we'll blend them together. No, fuck no. One project list. Do not try to manage deliverables by email. In other words, do not try to manage dates, hard dates of things by email. Okay. Instead, have your assistant have one Excel spreadsheet that he or she puts everything on, and then have it printed in the office. Make sure that your assistant, not you, owns that project list. And everything that assistant does or going to do for you is on that list. If you do that, then you can trust that nothing will slip through the cracks, because you've got one master list. I can't tell you how many people I fired over fucking lists where, oh, it was on your master list, but it's not on mine. You're fucking fired. Okay. And I'm a redhead. I got a bad fucking temper when it comes to people that I think are not doing a good job, or, you know, look, we've told you this three times. You're still not getting it. Get the fuck out. You know, I don't tolerate stupidity very well. And a lot of times it's not a case of stupidity. It's just the information got missed through the cracks. Well, I'm a redhead. I don't want to hear that shit. It has to be on point. It's not helping you, and it's not saving you time if you guys are missing information. So one spreadsheet, one project list. Okay. Now, my project list spreadsheet had three different things, okay? Three tabs, you might say, or three parts. The first one is active projects. These are the projects I'm in the middle of that different, you know, I'm building or doing or whatever, I'm in active projects, okay? The second one is archived projects. These are projects you've completed, but you still need to maybe reference them for stuff you're doing now, for information, whatever. But one is archived. Very rarely goes into archive projects. The next one is the devil's own project. It's called the recurring projects. These are tasks that happen over and over again, either each day, each week, or each month. It's something that I have to have done for my businesses every day, like one of the recurring projects. I had to call my dispensary every single day and get an update on how much weed we had sold the night before, and what we expected to do that weekend, and when do we need to restock. So that's a task that had to be done every single day, every single morning. That was a recurring project task. So that gives you an idea of the three different things that your assistant is going to be working on: active projects, archive projects, and recurring projects. Okay. So now the project list, when you write in the project list, it has several columns, okay? So you have priority one column, you have priority two column, and you have priority three column. So you give your staff a task and you say, this is priority one. You give your staff a task, you say whatever the priority is, okay? So there's rules to the priorities. The rule is this: never do a number three priority task when you have an uncompleted number two priority task. Never do a number two priority task when you have any uncompleted number one task. Number one tasks are done first before you do anything else. So, what is a project or a task? That's the thing you're asking your assistant to do. You have a date assigned. You assign a date to that task. And whenever you sign the date, that when is the date? When did I give you the date? Well, it would be 5/7/2022. When do I want that project done? I want it done next month by the 7th. So 6/7/22. So now there's a date that the project was given and a date that the project is due. What is the status? Okay. So instead of having, oh God, this is like so important. So important. In the beginning, when I didn't know what the hell I was doing, I would have my assistant keep notes on scraps of paper or in notebooks or project books, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. It cost me lots of money one time. So what you do is you have on your project list, there's a column, and that is the information column. And so it's like, talk with Jim at Acme Shipping at 10:15 on Saturday, and he confirmed that the full shipping will be on the road today and it'll be arriving 4 p.m. Wednesday, September 9th. You do one sentence precise about what happened and how it's going to be resolved, okay? That way, when you look at your project, when you look at it, you understand it immediately. She looks at it, she understands it immediately. No cracks. Nothing is left wrong. So, I use color because I'm dyslexic, but I didn't know until I started doing this that it wasn't just good for me, it was good for somebody that's not dyslexic as well. Oh, shoot, I don't even know why I think this is funny, but it is. I have my assistant put every new bit of information, she writes it in red font. This way, when I look at the document, I can, the black is stuff that I've already read. When I return it, when I read it, I highlight the words and I turn it into black. Now she knows I've read it and that I've approved it. Now, if I want to add something to that, because hey, I want her to do more, or hey, I want to change whatever, I put my response in blue text. That way I know she, and then when she's read it and responded to it, she turns my blue text back into black again. This way we're talking to each other throughout the day, but we're not on the phone with each other. Because I in the cannabis industry, I'm getting phone calls all day long. All day long. I can't stop what I'm doing to talk to her. That's because she's my assistant. Her job is to make my life easier. So by doing our information in the different colors of fonts back and forth like that, she's not interrupting me. She's not coming in and talking to me when I'm on the phone trying to buy, 1,500 pounds of weed. She's doing her work. And we are able to communicate. Like I can be on the computer in the living room and I flip onto our project task sheet and I see stuff in red and I read it and I turn that into black and then I re respond in blue. I can be on the phone doing this. So it makes it a lot of, beyond wait, how many hours you spend on wait on the phone. So during those little bits and snippets of time that I got a few seconds, I go to my assistant's page and I respond and read what she responds. It makes it better. It makes it easier. So, I have a tape recorder. And now I don't have to have a tape recorder. Now I can tape record with my phone. But I record once a week. I sit down with my assistant and we go over her project list, and I either hand her more projects and tasks, or I tell her about upcoming tasks or whatever I'm going to tell her. But I record that delegation meeting for my assistant. And I do it not, it's not, I'm going to record what I'm doing. No, it's not like that at all. It's when you get to this level, you're going to have, like, once a week, you're going to sit down with your assistant and you're going to have maybe 20 or 30 things that she needs to do in that week. Okay. She's not going to remember it. Okay. It's impossible. So the best way to do it is to have a recording and record your delegation meeting and make sure that your meeting doesn't go more than 45 minutes, because you don't want to have her listen to that shit so that long. Okay. Now, in this meeting, what you're going to do is you're going to go over the project list, okay? And you're going to hand her more projects and tasks, or you're going to put projects and tasks to the finish pile. You're basically going to resync that project list every week, okay? So, as you can imagine, there's going to be a lot of information coming to her during this. Her, I always say her, because I've always had female assistants, sorry, coming to your assistant at this one sitting. So if she has her own recorder or her cell phone going, she can go back through her notes. And if she's got questions of her notes, she can refer to the recording so that she captures stuff she thinks she might miss. This one thing alone was the biggest difference I made in having a personal assistant. It was the best thing I could have done, because she once told me, she says, I used to think that I was really irritated by your insistence on making me listen to the recording. It was really frustrating. But after I started doing this a couple of months, I realized it was really helpful, because I'm never lax in your expectations, because it helps me get everything down. So you might get some, resistance to them listening to the recordings later, but every single personal assistant I've ever hired, I've had that ever since I first started doing it. I've had that practice, and without fail, they come back to me in a couple months and say, "You know what? I've never done this with anybody else, and man, we had some big projects that I missed some key points on when we were talking. It was so much information. This was really, really helpful." So have her record every single delegation meeting. You should be doing this every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Okay. So now, if she's going to record it, that means you have to have an organized system for your delegation items for your assistant. Okay. So, how do you do that? The fastest way I've learned to capture tasks and projects to hand off to my assistant, or decide what to give to my assistant, is to have three places that I capture items. The first one is in my email, and I just use the categories and quick steps function in Outlook just to send a flag email to her to add it to add an appointment, to add to my contacts, or to discuss with me. I tell her what it is. The second way is in a desk file. This is where I put physical scraps of paper or physical items on her desk that will remind me to hand off to her later. And the third one is on a written assigned assistant delegation list. I keep mine in a notebook at the side of my desk, and I grab that and it goes in my purse with me wherever I go. Because you never know when in your day you're going to have something that you go, "Okay, my assistant needs to do that." So those are the three ways I capture tasks and projects so I can remember them. So, because of those things, you have to be able to trust and train your assistant to filter your inbox. So, this is really tough for business executives to do, because they are afraid of what their assistant will see. It's my belief, if you have the right assistant with a clear understanding on confidentiality, they're going to be more than mature enough to handle your inbox with discretion and intelligence. Your assistant is not going to be able to handle every email that you get, but with a little bit of training over time, they can generally handle 20 to 50% of what comes in. This is going to save you 30 to 130 minutes to 2 hours, minutes a day of screening your email. It's a massive, massive, massive time saver, especially as you get to be more well known in your industry. The amount of email that you'll get is staggering. The last when I had my dispensary, the last company I had, I was getting 1,000 emails a day. I had two staff members that did nothing but handle my email. So, and they reported to my PA. Every time, so you're going to have a subfolder, okay, in your project. So you're going to set up this subfolder and you're going to train your assistant to handle your email the way you want it to do. So when my assistant answers or handles an email for me, she moves it into a folder in my email that's called Assistant Handled. So as I go through my day, I do a quick scan through that folder and see what she's done. When I see items that I think I should be handling, not her, I flag it as leave in inbox or I mark it with discuss with me. And some of those things take a couple of times, but over time, the assistant is going to get better and better at learning at how you want her to handle your email. And because I know anything that's in the assistant handled folder, I can scan it much faster because I'm trusting that she's likely caught any critical emails earlier, which she would have either left in the inbox or asked me about if she didn't know how to handle. That training time, that flex time where you're getting to know each other on how you want your emails handled and how she handles your emails, that's, you got to give her like 2, 3 months because it's not easy. It takes a minute. So, if you have a private email, you can set up an email account that you access through the webmail. That's if you want a private email, say you and your husband or want to talk dirty on the emails all day long, you don't want your assistant to see that shit. So you set up a private email for just one or two persons. But remember, the more of that you do, the more time you lose in your day. You're going to have your assistant sign a very robust NDA, confidentiality agreement. And the reason for this is pretty self-explanatory. You want to give yourself a clear way to discuss the importance of discretion. With me, it's really critical because I need to explain to them that they're going to see things in my company that other people don't need to know, especially my inventions. And if my inventions go out, I can't patent them. So it's super, super important that my assistant understand how major important discretion is to me and confidentiality is to me, because that, as far as I'm concerned, that's a fireable offense. I let my assistant babysit any tech support I need from my office. So when I have to call IT in there, I have your assistant handle it. Allison scheduled all my tech support for my office when I'm traveling. And so when I come back, she's got everything fixed. Preventive maintenance has happened, and I just walk right in and get to work and start producing value for the company. Have your assistant build, quote, the system for being a great assistant for you. So over time, you're likely to have multiple assistants working for you. It's just unrealistic to think you're not going to bring on a new assistant. So make from the point of the hire, one of the key responsibilities for your assistant is to create a system of how to be a great assistant for you. Look, when you're hired, you're my first assistant. I want you to help me to build a system on how to be a great assistant, how ideas from you on how to help you do better work, easier work here, and that'll make us both better. Not only does this build depth into your office, but by giving your assistant the power to say, hey, tell me how you can be a better assistant for me, it allows your assistant to become a better assistant for you much faster. I think that's it. Does anybody have any questions? Well, if you have no questions, this...
Hello, Ms. Parker.
Yes.
Hi, this is Life Winner. Thank you so much for everything you do. Love to hear your voice again. I just get very, very encouraged when I hear what you have to say to us. So thank you. I do have one question. You were going to report on what we're supposed to do right after the RV. I think I've listened to everything you've presented. Is that something you'll be doing in the future?
No, I'm going to be my next recording.
Ooh, okay, good. I'm staying on. Thank you.
A question. Do you recommend to hire strangers, or if you have, you know, a friend
I don't go through any hint friends. I hire through executive service. There are hiring companies that you go through. I go through a hiring company. I don't hire anybody. I especially do not hire people I know, because you lose a level of professionalism when you hire people that you know, because they're not likely to take what you say as to heart as what other people might think, might do, people that don't know you.
Now that was what I'm thinking. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else? Anybody else? Question. Alrighty, I'm going to be ending this little chat thing in the video chat.